Amen. Thou art worthy. No one else like our God. Amen. No one else worthy to receive honor and glory and might and dominion. As they say in Revelation, you are worthy because you have redeemed us from every nation and kindred and tongue. You gave of yourself freely and willingly to purchase us, and you are so worthy of all praise. Let's open with prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you are worthy of all worship and adoration. We can't ever overdo it and say, praising and worshiping and good things about you to an extent that would be more than you deserve, for you are worthy. Father, I pray as we open the word this morning, Lord, that we would be drawn close to you, close to your side. Father, to be reminded and challenged again for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I have to admit, I got a little worried there in Bible study this morning for a minute. There was a couple of things that Aaron was getting into, and then Kenton turned to one of my references and read everything down to one of my verses and then stopped. I was like, whew, just barely dodged that one. But it's a blessing. Let's start in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin reading here. Such a precious chapter. I think we're going to read the majority of this chapter, but we'll pause at various places and talk about it. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. This wasn't Peter sounding like a California girl for a second. He's saying that you and I, those of us he's writing to, we have received similar, the same kind of precious faith through the righteousness of God, through his righteousness and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Through the knowledge of God. We talked about that just briefly this morning in the Bible study time. Our walk with God, our grace that we receive and that we so desperately need to walk faithfully and to walk in a way that is pleasing to God, how does it come to us? Is it by us jumping through hoops just right? Is it by us knowing everything just right? Is it by us doing some great, marvelous thing like Naaman, when he was told to go dip in the river and he was angry about it, and his servant said, well, if he had told you to do some amazing, wonderful thing, you would have done it, right? Is that how we receive what we need? Is that how we receive the grace that we so desperately need? Is that how we receive this peace that can only come from God? And he calls it, in one other place, he calls it a peace that passes understanding. It's more deep and more powerful and more real and more permeating than we can understand or comprehend. It's a peace that passes or surpasses all understanding. How do we receive those things? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Through knowing Him. It's that simple. Through knowing Him. It's not through all of these other things. It's not through some type of, you know, seance or deep meditation for 20 years out and on some little mountainside where no human contact can distract you, where you finally find this peace. It's not through just all kinds of self-mutilation or whatever other things that people have tried to do to rid themselves of their sin, to rid themselves of their weakness, because we all can honestly, if we look honestly inside of ourselves, we see that we are weak and we're lacking. I'm weak. I'm lacking. What's the solution? What's the answer? Do I try harder? Do I stand on one hand? Do I meditate? Do I whip myself like the old Catholic Jesuits? No, those things don't work. They've tried them again and again. Brother Aaron talked about the one man who felt like somehow this was going to add power to his desire to live a holy life, and he wrote up a contract between him and God of what I will do and signed it in his own blood. It didn't work. That's not the answer. That's not the solution. How do we receive this grace and peace? He says, this is Peter's prayer for those of us who have received the same faith, the same kind of precious faith that Peter had received from the Lord Jesus. He says, it's multiplied unto you through knowing Him. Through knowing Him. This isn't just a head knowledge. This is a relationship. This is a walking, a deep friendship and getting to know. You might say getting to know God. Getting to know Jesus Christ. This is more than just an acceptance or a statement of belief of, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. This is more than just a, yeah, I accept the basic principles and tenets laid out in Scripture. This is a knowing God, a walking with Him, a relationship. And that is the vehicle, he says, by which we receive these things, is by knowing Him. Oh, that's the only way we can receive it. We don't receive it by some great grandiose acts. We don't receive it by some great marvelous pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps out of the mire of sin and filth and ourself that we find ourselves strangling in. We don't get better than that by trying. We don't get better than that by anything we can come up with. The only way to grow beyond that, to receive grace and peace, not just to receive them, but to have them multiplied to us and in us, is through knowing Him intimately, deeply, personally, ongoing. This isn't a once, one and done kind of a thing. This isn't, oh, well, I met Him on the day when I asked Him to come into my life, and now I'm good and golden, and I got my ticket stamped, and I just sit around and wait till the train's ready to leave, and I go to heaven. No, how do we get it? Through knowing Him. This is an active verb that's a continuing thing all through your life. You need more grace? How do you get it? By getting to know Him more. You're lacking peace in your life. How do you get more peace multiplied in you and to you? By getting to know Him more and deeper. You can't trust someone you don't know. The more you know Him and really understand and comprehend and realize and get to know who He is and His love and His compassion and His mercy and His tenderness and the kindness of this shepherd who forgives and forgives and forgives and cleanses us from all unrighteousness and lifts us out of the pits we find ourselves in, pulls us back up again, sets our broken bones, restores health and healing, the more you begin to trust Him, and the more you trust an all-powerful God, that is peace. That is peace. How can I be worried and fretful if I truly know who God is and I truly believe He has all things under control? My fretting and my worrying, my turmoil within myself that eats me alive and takes away my sleep and leaves me laying awake at night, worrying about how I'm going to pay the bills and how I'm going to do this, and that comes from not truly knowing and believing God. If I truly know who He is, and I know His promises, and I know that they're true, and I truly believe that, what is there to fear? What is there to worry about? Truly worry and all of those things, they are the absence of peace. And they are the absence of knowing Him. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through an increasing, growing knowledge of Him. Through an increasing depth of relationship. This word, know, is the same kind of a word that's used when it talks about Adam knew his wife and she conceived and bare him a son. This is an intimate love relationship. How do we receive the grace and the peace that we need so desperately? Through knowing Him. Go on in verse 3. He says, according as His divine power, His immense, complete, absolute, total power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, through knowing Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. His divine power has given unto us all things. All things for what? For living a good Christian life? Yes. All things for this physical life? Yes. All things for our mental health, for our emotional health, all of these things? Yes. Has given unto us all things that pertain, even if they just pertain, to life and godliness, both categories. This isn't just for religion. This isn't just in relation to your spiritual walk. This is all of life. Everything that pertains, everything that has anything to do with life or godliness is given to us by His divine power. There's no lack. There's no shortage. But what does it mean if I feel a lack and a shortage? How does it come to me? Through knowing Him. If I'm not walking and receiving these things in their divine power, and I'm saying, man, that sounds great, but I'm not experiencing that. I don't know what you're talking about. That sounds amazing. I need that. But I don't experience that right now. I don't see that. I don't feel that. It's not a reality in my life. Guess what? He tells you how it comes, where it comes through. Getting to know Him. Getting to know Him intimately, truly. Learning to know Him. All things that pertain to life and godliness. There's not a category outside of that that you and I have to worry about. If we have everything that pertains to this life and everything that pertains to the life that is to come, what more could you possibly need? There's nothing else outside of that that you could possibly want or need. All things that pertain to life and godliness are given unto us through the knowledge of Him.
Amen.
Through knowing Him. It's so simple that it's so easy to overlook because it doesn't make sense to our mind. How can me knowing someone help me to be a different person? How can me knowing someone provide peace in the middle of a tumultuous storm? How can me knowing someone provide strength to live above sin? How can me knowing someone provide all of these things that I so desperately need? And it doesn't make sense in our human mind. But yet God says, that's how you get it. That's how you get it. That's how they're given to you. That's where they come from. That's the avenue by which you receive them. There's no other way. You can't get them by some fancy program you could come up with. There's no way to get them except by this, by knowing Him. All of those things, they don't come to us because we're so good. They don't come to us because we got it all figured out. They don't come to us because we go to the right church, because we dress the way we should, because we sing good songs. They don't come to us because we try to live a moral life. They don't come to us because we hold the right set of creeds and doctrines. They come to us through knowing Him.
Amen.
Personally, deeply, intimately, knowing Him. By this knowledge, he goes on in verse 4, he says, whereby, by this knowledge, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Read through the scriptures and you see these great and precious promises. These promises of His presence. These promises of peace that passes understanding. These promises of Him cleansing us from all unrighteousness. These promises of being able to stand faultless before a holy, righteous God who cannot abide sin. These promises of He will provide all of our needs. These promises of seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. These promises of I am always with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. These promises of I go to prepare a place for you and when it's time I will come and I will receive you unto myself that where I am there you may be. All of these great and precious promises, he said they're exceeding. They're massively huge, and they're great, and they're precious. How do they come to us? It says, starts with whereby. Whereby? It's by the same thing. It's by the knowledge of Him. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Wow! Wouldn't that be nice? For my very nature, which I constantly find wandering off, walking away, straying, my very nature can begin to be changed as I begin to partake of the divine nature of God's almighty, holy, righteous, sinless, perfect, divine nature. That's what comes to us through knowing Him and getting to know Him more and walking with Him through the knowledge of Him, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You and I can escape the very fundamental filth of this world through knowing Him. And we begin to be made partakers of His personality, of His nature, of His very being, of His very essence. And it changes us. It changes us deeply, internally, lastingly, life-changingly, through knowing Him. Because we find that as we get to know Him, we begin to become conformed to His image. That means we begin to look more like Him. We begin to act more like Him. We begin to walk more like Him. We begin to react more like Him. Instead of getting frustrated and lashing out in anger and hatred when something goes wrong, all of a sudden we find ourselves responding differently because we are beginning to become partakers of His very nature, His very character. But that's not by a deeper head knowledge. That's not by studying more of things. That's by knowing Him more deeply. He goes on, he says in verse 5, he says, and beside this, or by this very means, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. In what? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Starts to sound like a little bit of a circle, doesn't it? The more you get to know Him, the more you begin to find His nature growing and maturing and becoming part of who you are and directing the course of how you react and interact. And the more that you do that, the more you begin to grow in these things, in diligence, in faith, in trusting Him, in virtue, in knowledge, in temperance, in patience, in godliness, in brotherly kindness and love. And what do those things do? They, in turn, turn right around. And it says that if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in knowing Him. So as you walk with Him, you grow in these things. They make you know Him deeper, and you begin to walk more like Him. The more you walk like Him, the more you get to know Him, the more you grow in these things, the more you get to know Him. It goes around and around, because this knowledge of Him, this personal relationship, this walking with Him, this knowing Him intimately is the means. The means for receiving all of those things. Isn't that more or less the bundle of what Christianity strives to accomplish in the human heart? Patience, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness, kindness, love. That's what Christianity, that lines up very closely with the fruits of the Spirit. That's what Christianity is designed by God and given to produce in the human heart and in the human life. And it comes through the knowledge of Him, through knowing Him. Verse 9, he says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent. I won't quit. Says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. I'm not telling you something you don't already know, he says, but I'm going to continue to bug you. I'm going to make sure I'm not going to neglect to continue to always remind you again and again of these things, even though you know them, even though you're already established in them, even though you're already walking in them, there's more, there's always more. He says, yea, I think it meet or fitting, as long as I am in this tabernacle or in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. That's why I'm writing them down, so you've got it written down. So if I'm not there to physically say, hey, remember where the source of life is, you've got it written down, so you have that to look back at. He says, this is why I'm writing it down. I'm making sure, even after I'm gone, that you will always have these things in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter's saying here, we got to know him personally. And you, my dear brothers and sisters, all of us who have received the same kind of precious faith, he says, I'm writing this so you can get to know him. And so you're reminded that you need to get to know him, and that you should get to know him, and that if you don't get to know him deeper and fuller and continue to walk with him and know him more and more, that you're blind, you're not looking far off, you're short-sighted. And you're not thinking about and realizing this is the crux of the whole matter. As Paul says in Galatians, he says, you started well. What's hindering you from continuing on? Why would you start in the Spirit and then try to figure out some other way to become perfected, some other way to mature, some other way to be purified? No, it starts the same way and it ends the same way. It's all through him. It's all through Christ, through knowing him, through walking with him, through allowing his divine nature to begin to take rule and reign in my nature. He must increase, I must decrease. He gives warning in chapter 2 of this same book. Verse 19 and 20, he's talking about false prophets coming in, and he says, while they promise liberty, there's this false freedom to do whatever you want that they're promising. He says, while they promise liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For to whom a man is, of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through, how again? Through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. He's giving warning here. He's saying, hey, there's people coming around who are promising this freedom, who are promising all these things. But he says, you have escaped from the pollutions of the world through knowing him. Continue in that. Through knowing him. Not this false, corrupt, it's liberty and freedom to do whatever you want, but through knowing him. Don't become entangled again, he says, therein, and overcome, because then the latter end is worse than they for with them than the beginning. For, he says in the next verse, verse 21, he says, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It had been better if they didn't know to begin with. If you quit following through, it would have been better not to start to begin with. And then in verse chapter 3 of the same book, he calls them and challenges them again. In chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, he says, ye therefore, brethren, seeing you know these things, You know these things. I've told you them, but I didn't tell you them because I think you don't know them. I told you them because you already do know them, but I'm going to remind you so you don't forget, so you don't get distracted, so you don't get confused, and so you don't get taken in by the enemy who's coming around preaching all this false ideology. He says, now, I know you know these things. He says, seeing you know these things, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But instead of that, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and ever. Amen. This second book of Peter, all the way through again and again, he refers back to this fact that it's through the knowing of him that everything comes to us. It's through the knowing of him. And he ends the book again, challenging them, saying, hey, I know you know these things, but don't be led away or deceived or distracted by the error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness. You know these things, you're steadfast in them now, but be on guard because there's a lot of really good sounding things out there that are going to come along and try to drag you away from this simplicity, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians last week, the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of the fact that it comes to us through knowing him. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. But instead, he says in verse 18, grow in grace. Grow in grace. Don't just stagnate and say, okay, I got some grace. I'm good. Yay, I got it. No, grow in it, continue to grow in it, and continue to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know him. That's great. Get to know him better. I got to know him better. That's great. Get to know him even better. Paul, late in life, writing about the race that he's run and the life that he's lived, says, oh, my all-consuming passion is that I might know him. Well, Paul, don't you know him? Yeah, I know him. I know him, and it's really good, and I want to know him more. I know him enough that it whet my appetite, that now I'm passionate about the fact that I want to know him even more. He says, I don't even know. What does he say? I don't know yet as I ought to know. I don't yet know everything I want to know, everything I should know of him. I haven't got as close to him yet as I want to and as I should. But that's still my passion and my fervor and my driving force in life is to continue to get to know him better. And that never dies. That never dies. So many times it's easy for us, it's easy for me to begin to coast, to put life on cruise. And I know the Bible pretty well. I know the Lord pretty well. I've walked with him for a lot of years. It's going pretty good. And it's easy to just take a lot of things for granted. It's easy to just float along the river with that knowing of him up to this point. But there's more. There's more to be had. And he calls us, he challenges us to go on and to grow deeper and more in our knowledge of him, in our knowing him. Because again, as he said back in chapter 1, all things that pertain to life and godliness come to us through knowing him. Everything we need comes to us through knowing him. Can you ever have enough? Can you ever have enough? I haven't ever found that I've been able to fully get enough that I never have to come back again. I don't think we ever will this side of glory. You're always going to need more. You're always going to need more. It always has to be fresh and powerful. And his prayer here for us, not just to those he's writing to, but he includes us in it because he says he's writing to everyone that has obtained the same kind of precious faith that he has. That includes me. And his prayer for us, his desire, his longing, his passion is that grace and peace would be multiplied. Everything that pertains to life and godliness would be multiplied to us. And he tells us how that comes, how we receive that. It's through knowing him. It's so simple. And yet we will spend our whole lives learning this and growing in this, or we've stopped. And we're sliding backwards. So I, with Peter, say, yeah, I know you guys know these things, but I'm going to continue to challenge you with them. I'm going to continue to remind you of them so that the enemy doesn't get an advantage. Because this is the basis. This is the crux. This is the foundation. And this is the avenue through which we receive everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Let's pray. Father, my heart's cry this morning, and I hope and pray it's the heart's cry of every heart here this morning, is that I may know him, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death. That I may know him. Father, help us never to lose the hunger and the thirst and the burning and the desire to know you more. Father, because we never lose our need to know you more. We never lose our lack that can only be supplied through knowing you. In Jesus' name, amen.